With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an FYF Friday on The Usual Suspects. A little unusual for The Usual Suspects on an FYF Friday, as Barry, as if you've been following all week, is up north. Up there in Minnesota, doing a little comedy.
Don't you know, you betcha.
So, I guess we could say the clean version of that would be it's probably going to be colder than a witch's left boob in a brass bra up there, the way they talk. So, with him out, in is the relief pitcher that brings the heat, Cody Stoops, along with me and Nicholas. What is up, fellas?
What is going on?
I'm having a fantastic Friday.
I really
haven't done much at all. I woke up kind of late.
Blew off the workout already.
No. Move the workout post-show.
Nick, if you're telling folks the day before that you're going to get up, because I talked to him about sending him the format link and everything like that, and he's like, cool, I'm going to work out in the morning, and then I'll get right on it. I was like, okay, cool. I might add a few things, you know, Thursday night, but all right, good. So then I sent it to him and wanted to make sure he got it. So I called him, and you know what he says? Yeah, I've been working on it, but I just didn't feel like doing the workout. I'll get to the workout this afternoon. That's a blow off. Now you could pick it up and save it. It's not completely gone, but it's a blow off.
It's not a blow off until I don't do the workout today.
Did you blow off when you were scheduled to do it and told others you would do it?
I have no schedule. There's no schedule.
Here and on time.
Right.
Is that scheduled?
I have no workout schedule.
Okay.
It's not like where there's a certain amount of time
at this
I need
point,
to go in.
At this point, I think it's all about what's the first thing you're going to do when you get home. Because for me, that's what would impact whether or not
true.
I work out. Like if I get on the couch, if the TV turns on and I don't do anything, I'm probably not going to do that workout. So what are you going to do first thing when you get to the house, Cody?
I'm going to go in. I'm going to set down my computer bag. I'm going to kick the flip-flops off, put on the workout clothes, get back in the car, and go back to the gym.
Tights?
Well, no, I don't wear tights.
Oh, okay.
Shorts.
No. Shorts and a Fruit of the Loom t-shirt. Preferably gray so I know how much I sweat.
Compression shorts?
No, just basketball shorts. Adidas basketball shorts.
No. I'm talking about you got to
underneath?
You have to have a support system.
Oh, yeah. No, I use performance underwear even though I don't often
compression shorts.
Unless I, you know, even though I don't often perform.
Okay. Yeah,
so when you do your crunches and your sit-ups.
Now, let's
You know what? Here's the thing. As a fat guy, crunches, sit-ups, not fun. It's just in the way.
So that's not going to be included in the workout,
No, I got this.
You
got
to take notes on what it's crunching?
I got this weird, crazy kettlebell thing that Raheel has got me doing, and it's hard. And today's every minute on the minute or some crap like that, OMO or something.
You guys were telling me about it. I gave you guys full props on Twitter the other day because you had tweeted out that Raheel's got you on this deal, and then you guys were telling me about it today here in studio, and I was like, man, it's kind of a neat deal. Like, you're actually doing videos, but they're videos like you're doing it in a studio.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
It would be like if you were at the class live, like watching people do it, and then you just kind of do it. You do it while the people are doing the video, and then they've got like the different levels of the workout. Somebody's doing your level in the video. It's still stupid hard. Like, this is clearly, and Raheel set me up. I knew what he was doing. This is clearly.
But you let him.
Yes, true.
Okay,
true. This is clearly a workout for someone who's kind of in shape to in shape. I'm all the way out of shape. And so this is like a crash course, like body parts that I'm like, hey, Raheel, does your lower back hurt after you do this? He's like, no. I'm like, okay, well, that's not good.
He's like a rubber band man.
Yeah, that's Raheel true. Is. Yeah, he works out like all the time. Yeah. Plays on all like 17 does his, sports
he,
leagues.
He's got a. He has a. He has those. I used to see him in the Rockets locker room, but he has those, like, they look like glorified ski boots, but they go all the way up your leg and they inflate and then they chill and they, like, it's like a hyperbaric chamber, only it looks like snow pants.
The Normatex.
He's got those.
Yeah.
He's got, you know how you get
those are the best. You ever use those?
What are you kidding? No.
Oh, dude, you'd love those. The Normatec boots?
It's weird.
No, you got to use
I've
those.
I've never used them. I mean,
oh,
I
you
got to
use those.
How much are those?
I don't know how much they are. I use them at a local place here.
You use somebody else's blow up ski pants that rejuvenate your legs?
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm not Barry, but I'm not doing that. How do
they wash it after you use it?
Oh, I'm sure they do, and like, I'm sure they really pay a lot of due diligence to
the
washing.
Prices as high as $1,500.
That's if you own them, right?
Yeah. No, I got a guy that gets you a session with them for like $20.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
We'll take a field trip. There's four chairs.
Where's he at? Whole Foods.
No, it's right over there. It's kind of actually down the street from Whole Foods.
Okay. Now, here's the other thing Raheel has, if you've seen it, and NBA locker rooms use it. It's like a power drill, but you put like a Super Bowl on the end of it.
Yeah, like a rubber, a rubber bullet
almost. So when, and Nick, not the same trigger but as yesterday, but like you pull the trigger, and it just like, it's like rapidly punching your muscles.
Oh, yeah.
And it's supposed to loosen and like.
Oh, I've used that before.
Knead your muscles. He's got one of those at home too.
I had no idea.
So, oh yeah. The place that most people would need like that, I forgot the name of it. I forgot like the actual name of it, but essentially it's like a muscle drill almost is the way I would describe it. The place most people need it is like at the bottom of their back, the upper part of their posterior.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of people hold their tension, especially if you sit a lot.
Make sure it's not the lower part of your posterior.
Right.
Then it could have a different usage altogether.
Exactly. Yeah. That'd be not good. I had the.
It depends on your lifestyle.
They use the little drill muscle thing on me one time. Felt amazing. You got to try this. I'll get you set up with this place.
Watch when you're at a Rockets game, Nick, because they don't like the public and the cameras to catch it. But even when Chris Paul had the last hamstring issue, one of the assistant trainers was trying to hide this little drill handgun looking thing as they were trying to just, it was almost like fixing a tire. It was like they're on the bench going, and they're trying to hide it from the camera. So one guy's in front of Chris, the other guy's on the side of him. So they're trying to block what they got, but they're just beating the hell out of his hand.
They're trying to block only because they don't want people to see where they're.
Yeah, the injury and what they're doing. Because if you see that, it's probably more serious than just a little cramp.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen it because usually when they attend players on the court, it's like on the other side. Like I'm already a level higher. Plus. The Rockets bench is on the complete other side. It's a lot more difficult to see from where I'm sitting.
So you're on the game camera side?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. So yeah. And you make a great point, too, because the one thing that I've noticed, because Lisa's always like, hey, get up in the morning and work out. I'm like, no, I've got reflux, and if I eat or drink anything, coffee or a smoothie, it's got to be like 2 or 3 hours before I can do something. Otherwise, I'm going to just be burping up and throwing up. And then the other thing is I got Taylor, and I got so many responsibilities,
oh, yeah.
And we've got to get – most times that's what I'm trying to work on, what we're going to do for the show. And then – Nick's right. As soon as I get home, I'm like, nope, I've got it in my head. Minute I get home, putting on my shoes, I'm either getting on the treadmill.
I have to
doing
change into my workout clothes right when I. If I don't, I'm not going to work
so
out that day.
True. Then Lisa's like, hey, can you help me with Taylor on this? Hey, the dogs need that. And then I start doing this or that, or I sit down for a second. The next thing I know, it's 7 o'clock, and I go, I am screwed.
Yep. Yep. Luckily for me, I have none of those responsibilities. My workout clothes are actually kind of comfy, so it's dangerous to get into the workout clothes, you know? You sit on the couch in the workout clothes, next thing you know, it's 7 o'clock.
Like last night, I had every intention of what I've told you, Nick, I told you I've been doing lately, which is I put an NBA game on, and the minute the jump ball goes up, I'm on the treadmill, and I don't get off till the 6-minute mark of the second quarter.
Right.
Because I can normally get about 4 or 4.5 miles in. I'm ready to do that. I'm just
Lord, how fast are you running?
The timeouts and everything?
4.5 miles.
I run through the timeouts and everything.
It would take me 7 basketball games.
I'm running about 9-minute miles, I guess.
Oh,
something goodness. Like that. But I'm like, so I was mentally I can still do this. Because normally I'm starving because all I have is a smoothie in the morning and I don't eat.
Yeah.
He knows this. And so I'm like, no, today I'm not starving. So I'm going to be able to do this. I'm on the couch. I'm like, I'm helping her with a few things. I'm like, okay, I'm about to go change. And she goes, It's 7 o'clock. You're starving. You ain't doing this. I'm like, whoa, what's that? I do this all because you never do this like this. I go, Lisa, I've been doing this quite a bit. Then I started thinking about it, and all of a sudden my stomach starts going.
Oh, I'm like, no.
See what you did there? You just jinxed the whole. Now I'm mentally, I'm thinking about the fact that I'm hungry.
Yep.
And I was like, well, I'm going to make dinner and I'm not going to work out today.
Well, the plight I've had many times.
Well, I was just telling
you. You just can't sit down. Because even if you change into your comfortable gym clothes.
See, preferably, I like to get up in the morning and work out empty stomach. No food.
I would just
water.
Everything but the morning in that scenario. Yeah. I hate working out in the morning. When I was in college, our off-season workouts were at 4:45 in the morning until 8. And we, as a pitcher, you run a mile to loosen up. You run 3 more miles in the middle of practice. And then on top of that, you're doing all the practice stuff. And I pretty much threw up 4 days a week. with my body, my system and my reflux, it was impossible. So I hate mornings. But otherwise, I'm with you.
All right. Well, I will send you folks a tweet from the gym proving I went.
Okay.
And if I don't go, I'll be shamed
Nick
by
Nick would like you to do it panoramically so he can see who else is working out in the gym in case there's some some prospects.
The gym I go to?
Yeah. No prospects?
Not really.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
You were telling me the hotties were in the videos, so why can't the hotties be at the gym?
Because I don't go to the gym where the hotties are in the video.
Well, then that's on you.
What, you want me to drive to Austin
to
work out every day?
No, but you should go to a gym where there's hotties.
No, I go to the gym, just get my work in, and then maybe...
No distractions.
Get in the way, playing some basketball after, and then leave.
Oh, he's a hooper.
Oh, it's bad. I'm out of shape, bad. I play one little half court, two half courts or one full court, and I'm spent.
Apparently, intern Trey was hooping in Sugar Land yesterday.
No,
I don't.
Juggalo Trey?
That's what he told me.
No, I don't believe way. That. He wouldn't
he
even wear gym
totally
clothes.
Told me that.
You can't hoop in Chuck Taylor's baggy jeans and a concert T-shirt with a flat visor hat. You can't do that. The gym has a dress code too, don't they?
Ask Juggs about that. We'll see what he was wearing.
We're gonna ask Juggs about that. All right, so we've got an FEF ride. Do we have clips? Do we have clips?
I have one. I did not get more than one from Radu, so we'll play the first one coming out.
Okay, so we'll have some clips for you. I'll give you some background if we can about that. A big show for you today, Cody. We can also talk to you because we're going to be filling people on the weight loss challenge, which is starting on the 14th. So you might have some fun with that. We'll get that information out to the peeps. And, of course, you can always reach the show, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter, where it's at Cody_Stutes. It's at the producer Nick, and it's Pac-Man Joel with a K. Before we hit the break, I do want to tell you about Infuse Energy. CEO Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a wonderful job here in the Houston area. Being locally owned and operated, they are solely focused on the people here in Houston, Texas, and they take great care of you. When you call 844-INFUSE2, that's 844-463-8732, you get a live person on the phone. You don't get an automated system. They'll ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, is it for a business or your family, and they go from there. They want to get you the best rate and the best deal that they possibly can, and they're going to be 100% honest. That means in the rare occasions where there's a competitor out there that can beat their rates, they're going to let you know because they don't want to pull the wool over your eyes or deceive you in any way. And maybe if you don't go with them this time, you'll go with them sometime down the road. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit and they go from there. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Check out InfuseEnergy.com or give them a call. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We all love America. We don't really love other Americans. You ever hear someone just with a different accent from you talk around, like someone from Boston try to give you directions? You're like, I'll just be lost. I don't need this. It's in your mouth. Ugh. Found that out when I was like 13. That was the first time I went to a different state. Besides Texas, I went to California. Sure. And, yeah, places. You've been. But I heard a lady in a restaurant in L.A. talking away. It should have been like Russian or Farsi. I didn't understand at all what she was saying. She looked at a waiter, and she was like, "What's good here? I don't eat anything with a face." And I was too young to register that she was saying she was like a vegetarian in a stupid way. I just thought she only ate the grossest animals. I was like, nothing with a face? This bitch only eats like starfish and ghosts? Why would you brag about that, you demon?
All right, here's a really cool deal. That was Radu Bhandar, right? And you can follow him on Twitter at Radu Bhandar, which is RADUBONDAR. But hilarious. That's a great clip. But even better and very cool is he's a great dude. And how do I know? Because he's one of our interns. Because, you know, he sees what Barry's doing too. And I think he has some aspirations in this business as well. And he busts his tail for us out there. And that's why this is a very, very cool deal that he's doing a show this weekend. I believe it's at the Joke Joint, Nick, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so, but I got to confirm.
So we're going to get the information because we're going to try and have Radu on at some point during the show as well. But there's three comedians. He's one of them. And so we wanted to give some local love and also a little extra to Radu because he busts his tail here and he's a great dude. He's a funny comedian and he's got a bright future. So there you go. That's clip one. We'll have a couple more. And if we can, we'll get you some information on that show at the Joke Joint this weekend. But very cool stuff there.
Yeah, it looks like Friday and Saturday, 7:30 and 10.
I like what you did there.
Yeah.
Joke Joint is at I-45 and Fuquay.
Yep, yep.
Don't say that the wrong way.
ComedyShowcase.com.
Don't sound that out.
No.
Slowly.
No.
Right?
That's always a good, like, how Houston are you if you're not from here, is you show people a couple of different.
Kirkendall would be one of them.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's the one that just completely puts a tailspin on most outsiders.
That's the boss level of the video game. It's like, okay, hold on.
But every city has those. When I lived in Portland, they have two rivers that cross in the middle of their downtown area and all that kind of segregates the four zones of downtown Portland.
Okay.
The river.
Like segregates bad or segregates just like.
No, just like, it, you know, like southeast versus northeast. And,
not like 50s Alabama.
Right. Gotcha. So the river, one of the rivers, right, is W-I-L-L-A-M-E-T-T-E. W-I-L-L-A-M-E-T-T-E.
Willamette?
Most outsiders call it the Willamette.
Uh-huh.
It's the Willamette.
Willamette. Oh, okay.
See?
Easy, Portland.
So that's how Portland does it. It's also Oregon, not Oregon. If you call it Oregon, you are an outsider. So just like Kirkendall.
Yeah.
I think every city has, I don't know, well, Wisconsin's got so many of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just go through pretty much any suburb of Milwaukee and going north, and everybody's going to hack that up.
But does anybody down here call it Oregon? Like, I've never heard anybody.
East Coast people call it Oregon.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never called it Oregon.
Yeah, it's Oregon.
We'll have to test it with some of our East Coasters in the building.
Well, Patrick Creighton was just in here before the show, and boy, if he isn't East Coast already, he came in and talked about mother and his father were talking to me the other day. I was like,
father.
Wow, that came out in a hurry with a New York accent.
My father's mother. I was like, whoa.
So I do want to remind everybody before we go further, though, because we were talking workouts and things like that. The Usual Suspects weight loss challenge is taking place again this year. It is going to be the second annual this year. We'll get it going around on the 14th. But if you want to be a part of it, because people keep asking, all you have to do is text our text line, the HRNP text line, 713-780-3776, and just leave your name and your email address. We'll put you on the master list. The emails are going to start coming. You'll be a part of all this deal. I want Cody to sign up just to make sure that he can work with the listeners and give some motivation to them. And also understand that the way the thing gets started is a weigh-in. We may have some other locations as we go forward, but the only location right now where you can weigh in is at our studios, 5353 Alabama, right here in the Galleria area. So check it out online if you want directions to come to the front desk and weigh in. But that's how it works. It goes for about 3 months. We have a lot of fun with it. Mandy, one of our loyal listeners, texted in last year. She's still going. She lost 130 pounds. That is amazing. There's a Facebook page. People are putting out recipes and workouts and very cool deals. So if you want to sign up, yeah, just text your name and email information and we'll get it going from there.
There you go.
There you have it. So you boys doing any sportsy stuff last night, watching any sports, doing anything like that?
Not really.
Crickets. Wow.
Not really.
Didn't watch Celtics Heat or the double overtime Spurs Thunder game?
I did. No? Well, yeah. I wasn't dialed in on all that.
Yeah.
But it was on the TV. I walked past You know, the local steakhouse that maybe has the, you know, the salt in the grass.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Used to be a friend of ours.
Yeah. Not a friend anymore?
I don't think so, but go ahead.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a little surprising.
A little salty, but go ahead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway.
Well, on the TV, I saw 1-2, and it was college hoops, and I was like, okay, well, I didn't know those teams were one, and it's women's basketball. It's like, come on.
And I did the opposite. The other night, Lisa needed the TV for some reason, so I went in the other room, and I flipped channels, and I saw, when I turned the TV on, it was on ESPN, and it was UConn, who was number one at the time, and I was like about to turn it off, and I looked, and Baylor had a 10-point lead with about 6 minutes to play, and I'm like, oh, UConn hasn't lost a game in like 2 years. I watched it. They lost. I was like, wow. At that point, I'm thinking that is something right there. Not that we'll ever mention a whole lot of it on the show, but I'm like, when number one hasn't lost a game in 2 years and they're going down in Texas, it's a bigger deal.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah, so they're not number one anymore, obviously.
Yeah, but people were freaking out about that hoops game last night.
There's the one thing I took, and Nick, I don't know if you watched any of it or saw any parts of it, because I know you're a basketball aficionado like me. What I did see, and then when I saw the highlights, is the NBA officiating is about as bad as the NFL right now.
Really?
There were some bad calls again last night, and literally had a difference in the game and the outcome. Technical fouls called that shouldn't have been called. I talked to Nick off the air about this yesterday, but Kelvin Sampson and the Cougars finally lost a game after winning, I think, 15 in a row at Temple. And one of the worst calls I've ever seen was... You can't say it decided the game because it was still in the second half with time on, like 9 minutes left. But Sampson, while the ball was going down to the other end, who didn't agree with the call, took his tie off and threw it on the sideline. Didn't like demonstrate, just took it off, threw it to the bench, and the referee teed him up. Come on, man. I mean, the sensitivity level amongst referees these days is getting to a new level.
They are so touchy on everything. And it's so crazy that they're so touchy, and you got guys like Draymond Green that can throw fits like a small child on the court and not get anywhere near a technical foul.
That is Joe Crawford-esque, though. If he didn't do it demonstratively, like you said, and didn't throw it on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see why. That's, remember, who got a technical for laughing?
Tim Duncan got a technical. Tim Duncan got thrown out of a game for laughing on the bench when Joey Crawford was an official. Yeah. And before that, Jake O'Donnell had thrown Akeem out several times, and then he threw Clyde out in the playoffs, and it was such an egregiously bad call that the referee, the NBA said he would never referee a playoff game the rest of the playoffs. He ended up never refereeing a game ever again.
Oh, wow.
So then you get Joey Crawford, who kind of carried the torch, and Steve Javy, who wanted it to be more about him. But this new crew of officials coming into the league, it seems like everybody's got a little Joey Crawford in them.
Did we ever get a follow-up on the blind official from Warriors Rockets who just watched...
Well, with the Kevin Durant. I never saw the 2 minute after that.
So the 2 minute admitted they missed the call.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, because the 2 minute admitted they missed the call, but can we find out about the ref? Like, why is he still reffing? Did he get extra training? What's going on? Like, it can't just be like, hey, you messed up. Like, yeah,
this is
no
the other thing.
He
if Nick's
up.
Covering the game and a referee makes a call like that, I want, just like the players, I want there to be a certain time after the game where you can talk to the three officials. The way they do it now is there is a designated
pool
of reporters, and one referee will be the spokesperson, and they will speak on behalf of whatever calls were made, even if it wasn't that referee that made the calls. I hate that. If you want to be transparent with the what do they call it, the last 2 minutes where you have to have the report the next day, then the referees that made those calls that night should have to be able to talk.
Also, one more thing about refereeing in the NBA and even college, do we have to act like it's like the biggest thing ever when somebody gets a charge? Can we not just do like a really simple,
it's demonstrative,
easy charge and not do like a whole like warm up, power up, like point the other way? Like, can we just go charge?
They don't.
And
I feel like they do that because they know that they're going to get some heat from somebody on the court, you know?
They want to
prove that, look, they really believe in this call.
I think they also like to get that little, the camera time.
I would agree with that too.
No doubt.
Totally.
Yeah, it's almost like choreographed the way they make calls.
You need to see the live stream to see Cody doing the calls. All right, KJ, we see you. Obviously, you're going to chime in on refs because it's in your background, I believe, if it's that KJ. So we got a half hour done in the show. Still got plenty more to go in hour number one, and it's a three-hour extravaganza. So join us, won't you? 713-780-3776. You want to be like KJ and hit up the HRNP listener line. You can text that number, or you can hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. But if you do, you're a fool, because I do to the death. Trying to step to me, you take your last breath.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, just tuning in, and you're listening for the sultry pipes of Barry Laminack. He is up in Minnesota doing comedy, so
you're stuck with me.
The closer, the man in the pen warming up. Let me tell you something. You are
Patrick Mahomes.
What do you call it? What are the Tampa Bay Rays doing now? They're not starters.
Oh, they're openers.
They're openers.
The opener.
Cody's like an opener because he comes in and he fills in for us. He does shows with you when you guys fill in for Palillo, for Raheel and Dell. He fills in on the network.
For the network, absolutely.
Yeah, you are just like the Swiss Army knife of Gal Media right now. You're writing for Sports Map.
Got one up today. They're probably going to piss a lot of Texas fans off.
You also wrote an article?
Yeah.
Besides getting one up today?
No, stop it.
I thought you were doing the pre-workout
screening
of your yoga teacher or whatever.
No.
I'm just checking. I wasn't sure where that was going.
Just quick note, relievers, because we don't have to spend a lot of time on this. Okay. And I know KJ wants to get in and yell at us about referees, even though he's super wrong about it.
Yep. How do you know that?
Right, just because he is.
Okay.
Astros settled arbitration with Ryan Pressly.
Oh.
$2.9 million.
That's what they're paying him?
He's easily worth
what
twice
a deal that.
That
is.
I know. That's why baseball money is so stupid.
Oh my God!
Thor for the Mets. He's getting $6 million.
Syndergaard.
He gets $6 million this year. That dude's worth $25 million. They get to pay him $6 million.
Forget Osuna. Forget everybody else. That dude's the most valuable guy in your bullpen, and was the best move Luno made.
Yes. So it's $2.9 million for him, and then Brad Peacock, $3.1 million.
Peacock's making more money
than Ryan Pressly.
Yeah,
but you know why? Because Peacock can be an opener if you need him to be.
You know what the suspects and the Gal Media listeners' nickname for him is? They got their own.
Do I want to know?
It's pretty obvious, but it's pretty popular. The club that loves is the South Carolina mascot. Yeah, that's.
Oh.
Yeah.
The C Club?
El Jefe is, he's big in that. Yeah.
I'm out on that.
Yeah. In more ways than one, I would assume. All right, before it gets too much off the rails, KJ wants to get in here, talk about refs. KJ, it's a shocker you might chime in on this subject, but what's going on?
Hello.
KJ.
This screams like...
KJ, going once?
His cheek hit the mute button, I bet. KJ.
KJ.
No KJ.
All right. So KJ that we know is a referee. So we figured he'd be chiming in immediately and getting involved in the process. But I guess not.
Yes.
So with that being said, what's the article on and why are you pissing off Texans fans?
Okay, so the article on Sports Map is offensive coordinator for the Texans? No thanks. Let Bill O'Brien do it another year.
Oh, you picked. I
put it on my Facebook. And just the notifications, beep, 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 just popping up nonstop. One guy was like, you're an idiot. One guy said, I'm a homer. It's just, I don't understand why everyone can point to the failures on offense by the offensive line, the massive amounts of injuries, Deshaun Watson getting hurt this year.
So you're going to be an apologist for Bill O'Brien?
There is no... Anything, see, and people hold a lot of stuff that's not play calling against Bill O'Brien, too.
Okay.
Like, they hold that against him in the play calling situation. Like, you realize there were only 14 teams that scored more points than the Texans, and that's with the number two wide receiver going out, the number three wide receiver missing most of the year, the backup number two wide receiver.
So you are a Bill O'Brien apologist.
In this situation, yes. Bill O'Brien should get to call the plays another year.
Nick?
I think you can because one of the... points that I've heard in the past is that if you take away play calling from Bill O'Brien, then what is he going to do there? Like, I think it's a big part of what he does is to have his hands in play calling. So is he just going to be a guy just that's just taking space?
I don't know, but I can tell you what he can do, which is exactly what I've been harping on for over a year now. He can manage the clock better.
Sure.
He can utilize his timeouts better.
Sure.
He can learn how to throw and when to not throw a red flag. I mean, there's so many different things that he could do. We talk about Kingsbury and the fact that he's an offensive mind, but he's not a head coach, like, to have control of everything. Same thing could be said for Bill O'Brien.
But here's what I would tell you, and I guarantee you that the numbers back me up on this. While he's been calling plays, which has been the past two seasons and a little bit more in 16, you know, him and Godsey, the weird thing that did where he kind of gave Godsey the play call and he took it back, then he gave it back, whatever. I guarantee you that he's been – now, people forget how god-awful bad he was when he wasn't calling the plays. He's been better at that stuff when he's been calling the plays. He's been more in tune with the game. It's still bad. It's still bad, Joel. Don't get me wrong. Like, everything you brought up has to get better. He has to manage the clock better. He has to be better at challenges. He has to use his timeouts better. Like, I agree with you. He was atrocious at that when he wasn't calling plays. This has made him this has got him closer to the game. Joel, he tried to throw deep in Steelers territory with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He told the team to let him. He let the team throw the ball with Fitzy deep in Steelers territory at the end of the first half in the first year he was the coach. And Fitzpatrick threw an interception, and the Steelers went down and scored two more touchdowns before the end of the half. Like, he was worse.
Cordy, he's the offensive coordinator against the Colts on a fourth and goal on the one, and he goes shotgun and throws the ball.
I understand that. Who's going to be better than him? Like, who's the name that's going to be better than him? Do you want Steve Sarkisian in here? Well, he just got hired by Cliff Kingsbury.
I can go up and down the list of guys that you could possibly get that would have a better grasp of those kind of situations in play calling.
Okay, they got a grasp of those kind of situations, but does Deshaun Watson like them? Do they have a grasp of what Deshaun Watson likes to do? Are they going to fix all that in one offseason?
How much do you think Deshaun Watson really likes the plays that are called for him?
I think he loves them. Let him be him.
I don't think so.
I think he loves him.
I think, first of all,
he may love
because he has confidence. The designed quarterback runs, which we all hate. But I think other than that, I think there's a lot of frustration when you know that the pattern that O'Brien follows more times than not calling plays is run on a first down, try and pass if it doesn't work, run again on third down and punt.
They've been so limited with their personnel. Like, there's only so much Bill O'Brien could do with that team. Like, you can't just go five wide and just throw it all over the yard when they have that offensive line. Like, yeah, you know why they struggled running the football? Because their guards got hurt a bunch, and even when they were in there, they're not very good. Like, people hark on this offensive line how bad it was, and they complain about guys getting hurt, and then they want to kill the offensive coordinator, or they want to kill the play caller for the offense stinking. They were still an average offense.
Lamar Miller, when he was with the Dolphins, was a really good receiver out of the backfield. Lamar Miller, in his early time with the Texans, showed that he could still be that guy. That was off the table this year.
Sure.
That shouldn't be. Because that's going to take heat off the offensive line. That's going to take heat off of Watson. That's going to allow you to move the ball up and down the field without having to risk a lot of injury and take a lot of chances because you know he's conservative by nature. Those are the kind of things that I will nitpick about.
Don't get me wrong. There's plenty that you can point to in Bill O'Brien's play calling and his operation. There's plenty that you can point to and say, you know what, that little thing needs to get better. He needs to run that kind of play a little bit more. But I'm telling you, better offensive line, a healthier team. You give him that shot next year. And here's the thing. For everyone that hates Bill O'Brien and that dislikes Bill O'Brien, all you're doing is building the case against him, giving him another year. Because if he fails and turns it over to, say, Sean Ryan, the quarterback's coach, and his hand-picked quarterback's coach fails, add more ammunition to the anti-Bill O'Brien thing.
But see, because that's the thing. For all the people that hate and wanted to fire Bill O'Brien, he's not going anywhere. He just signed the extension. Owners aren't giving free money. Those are all things we've covered. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not going to fire your head coach and he's not going anywhere, then if he's not going to – he's already proven, because as you mentioned, whether it be back to the Godsey thing or when he tried to like hand it off for a little bit on the O coordinator thing a couple years ago, it just hasn't worked. And just like he had his hand in the cookie jar on Brian Gain, He obviously wants someone that he's going to handpick as an OC, which is going to have the same patterns and the same looks and the same philosophies as he has. If you brought in, and there's plenty of names out there, but just say, for instance, a Todd Haley, who's had experience, who's worked with the Steelers, who can run offenses and open it up a little bit more, you might get a whole different look that can utilize the resources you have while you're still trying to, as you said, reconstruct an offensive line that was terrible. But you can work with a quarterback so he doesn't get crushed and maybe be a more progressive offense.
Look, I know they can be better on offense. And they have the skill players and the quarterback to be elite. And I believe Bill O'Brien can get them there. And if he goes into next season and it's failing in the middle, you got a guy in-house you can turn it over to play calling-wise. That's Ryan, the quarterback's coach. And if he fails, then you can go outside. Bill O'Brien's going to get to run it back with his guys one more time. And then it's like, all right, Bill, you got to fire your friends. You got to get rid of the guys that you've known and stuff like that because it's not working. You got to try something new. He's going to get to run it back one more time, and I'm willing to give him that opportunity with a healthier wide receiver core and hopefully a better offensive line. And, oh, by the way, Deshaun Watson's lung not collapsing and not coming back off of an ACL injury. I'm willing to give him that chance, and I'm not trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater on that situation. Because, like I mentioned earlier, he was worse at the game management and the stuff like that when he wasn't calling plays.
That's inexcusable too, though, Code.
I know, but they've signed up with this guy. They've locked in with this guy. Like, isn't there something to be said with how unhappy people are with Bill O'Brien that it was an average offense still?
Okay, Cal could actually blame this on his dad and say, now that I'm in charge, I'm going to do things a little bit differently, but the main thing is I'm not going to sit back and let things like this happen anymore, and if you're not going to pick an offensive coordinator, then I'm going to get involved and say either you pick one and you can have a say in it, or I'm going to pick one for you or have someone else do it, because you've had too much of a sample size for it to be just something that can be fixed. If it was going to be fixed, it would have been fixed by now.
But the sample size that matters to me is the time with Watson. And that sample size is smaller.
He opened it up before the injury.
That sample size is smaller.
All right. Well, we'll continue to roll on this. And obviously, that's a topic that can really be hot with certain people, especially when you mention Bob, as in Bill O'Brien. KJ is back. We'll see if he stays that way. We'll get him in here as well. And if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, hit us up on Twitter. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep and out, number one, 3-hour show. Having some fun on The Usual Suspects on an Friday. It's Cody in for Barry, along with Nick and myself. Spirited discussion in the last segment as we were going back and forth on an article Cody has written for sportsmap.com. Go there, by the way. Enjoy the site. Frolic in the videos, which are fantastic, at least some of them. Read the articles. It's not just for pictures and videos, so we'll plug your article. And then comment where you can hammer Cody Stutes like I am.
Mm-hmm.
About not needing an offensive coordinator for your Houston Texans and thinking that Bill O'Brien can just keep on carrying that torch burning brightly.
Yes, I believe that.
May be the only one.
And here's
besides Bill O'Brien.
Here's what I will say is take the Deshaun Watson era, and only when Watson plays in the games, because I do not care what Bill O'Brien did when Tom Savage was his quarterback. I don't care about that. I don't care about any times Bill O'Brien was calling the plays when it was Brock or Whedon or Yates or any of that crap. None of that crap matters to me. Take the Deshaun Watson era and the games where he has played, and that's what I want to assess, and that's what I want to look at. And they've had the worst offensive line in football when they did that, and they've had one of the worst offensive lines in football when he's had to coach through and scheme through all of that. And you look at the talent around him, like guys getting hurt all the time, not having adequate replacement getting hurt. And I just, I can't sit here and totally vilify the guy. Look, I'm not happy with
it. But you don't have to totally vilify him to at least be able to come to terms with the fact that they need to do something differently. They need to make a change. And it's not just in Bill's control to make that change, handpick his guy, already been on his staff, going to do it my way guy. It may be that the way you get this offense to take that next step forward is to get a guy that maybe makes him just a little bit uncomfortable or makes him gives him the freedom to really focus on what he has to focus on, which has been exploited because you're not just a piss-poor team anymore. You have a team with playoff aspirations and beyond. And these kind of mistakes are going to come up again and again and could cost you games that could cost you home field advantage, another thing.
One of my counterpoints to change would be they didn't change what they were doing when they started 0-3, and then they rattled off 9 straight. That would be a counterpoint to change.
That was all in their control. They had
the counterpoint to my counterpoint is maybe he was one of the reasons O'Brien and his offense and the style of play that he decided to use those first three games, maybe he was one of the reasons they were 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, I'm willing to give him another go. Like, I'm not just – because I don't know – that Bill O'Brien's going to get along with that guy. And if –
you know what my response is? I don't care.
But you don't need that with the – you don't need that sort of infighting with the – Todd Haley – don't get me wrong. Todd Haley can coordinate his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Haley has been at the helm of some really good offenses. You know what else? Todd Haley's also been fired everywhere because he's a jerker.
Well, but here's the thing. But he lasted a long time with Tomlin, and I understand that it didn't last very long with Hugh Jackson because Hugh Jackson was kind of trying to be a tough guy, but he's a pushover, and we all know
sure,
it.
Sure.
And he's not that kind of guy. Bill O'Brien is a type A. Bill O'Brien's still going to hold to what he believes in, but he's also going to make sure that he runs his ship his way. So if you take the offensive play and to go with what you said, so you know Haley's going to have the offense in control.
Sure.
All right? So now you can really focus on things I need to get better on, like the things we mentioned, time management, red flags, timeouts, those kind of things, and then see if there's going to be any kind of a rift. That's when your general manager may have to get involved or other things. But as long as you have the right personalities in the right other places, just like you're saying about systematically and things, I think it can work. And I'm not saying you got to go with a guy that he completely is against, but you can't go with a guy that he's completely for.
So, and by the way, I'm not totally against this whole offensive coordinator discussion. Like, I'm not totally against it.
Okay.
And I don't want to say that I'm, like, sitting on the fence on this thing. I just believe you give O'Brien another chance. And then if it doesn't work, okay, somebody else has got to do it.
But come next season, if there's an O-line, if the O-line struggles continue, do you give Bill O'Brien another excuse in another season?
No. Because at that point, that's your GM that you helped get in here and he didn't fix it. Well, then you pay the consequences. Failures by anybody in the Texans organization outside of Cal McNair, failures by anybody else, go on Bill O'Brien now because he's the big dog over there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. So if Brian Gain fails in this next offseason, the next draft, sorry, Bill, that's on you. That's on you. That's the guy that you wanted here. That's the guy that you helped get here. Okay, so that failure goes back on you.
And so far, it's encouraging. He's the anti-Rick Smith in the draft.
Correct.
So that's a good sign. But to Nick's point, the main thing is whether you use the draft, trades, free agency, however you do it. And I wrote an article for Sports Map a few weeks ago on this, where you don't get a pass anymore in terms of the quick fix, the guy that's underachieved so far that came out of college with a high rating, the guy that's coming cheap at a veteran contract but looks like he's still got something left in the tank. We did that again last year, and Look where it got us. You can't take those chances with a Deshaun Watson anymore and with the team that you have and the roster that you have right now. This isn't the Arizona Cardinals where you start doing little quick maybe Band-Aids and fixes. You have got to make sure for the long haul you go follow the route of the Indianapolis Colts and realize if Deshaun's your guy like Luck's your guy, then the line is your problem and you fix it.
There's been so many teams that have quick fixed their offensive lines and had it stay fixed that Brian Gain has no excuses. There are no excuses. He's got to nail that. And if he nails that, and Bill O'Brien's still calling plays, and Will Fuller doesn't blow his leg up again, and Kiki QT somehow gets like a hamstring transplant and that thing's not hurt all the time, they're going to be a top offense. They're going to blow folks away.
Ifs, buts, candies, nuts. If my aunt had outdoor plumbing, it'd be my uncle. I mean, I'm just saying, if under that scenario, let's put Chris Paul and Kiki Kuti on a plane to see the hamstring specialist of the globe and get them both fixed at the same time.
Let's do that.
Because that's a risk that you know is there. But with Chris Paul, so he's proven. Kuti,
So with all these ifs that we have to get solved with the Texans, why are you adding another variable to the equation with a brand new dude in the building?
Because here's the thing. We hammered Brock Osweiler's, the whole Brock Osweiler move and how it turned out because the sample size was too small. In this case, I believe the sample size is too big to not want to have an offensive coordinator in here because we've seen it go on and on year after year, time after time. When he calls the plays, it's conservative. It does, you know, it puts Watson at risk. And because the line isn't that great, you know, the calls he's calling aren't exactly conducive to the talent that he has on the field. And the sample size is too big as opposed to we haven't seen enough of him. We'll give him another chance.
I'm going to argue against the sample size, though. Just because you haven't had a healthy Deshaun Watson for a long portion of the size that you're discussing.
But Cody, when you did that first year, that offense was completely different. And we never saw it again. Where he didn't have to go five wide, but he opened it up. And I said he had Miller that he could use as a resource out of the backfield and on wheel routes and to keep the balance. He had a running game he could trust. He had a line that with Dwayne Brown at least where some holes could be opened up. But overall, we have not seen since Watson went down, except for maybe a small glimpse here or there when he first came back. We have not seen anything close to the offense he was calling when Deshaun was healthy before the last ACL.
So if you want to make the argument that the whole build out of the offense is incorrect, I'll listen, and I would probably...
Oh, you listen anyway.
I will. That's not what I meant.
Okay, all right.
That's not what I meant, just metaphorically.
Right, like, right.
I'll entertain it, because a lot of people just don't entertain the other side of the discussion. Mm. I'll entertain the other side that the whole build out of the offense is wrong, and if that's the case... then there's a whole different discussion than who calls the plays. Because even if you start to talk about a new play caller, then is Bill O'Brien still going to be coaching Deshaun Watson? Is he still going to have input on the offense? Or is he just going to turn the entire offense over?
Based
to
on your point of view, you still think he's a quarterback whisperer. So he can still whisper to Deshaun.
No.
He can still work and whisper with Deshaun. He just can't call the play.
Deshaun loves Bill O'Brien's coaching and loves what Bill O'Brien does with the offense.
Okay. He kind of has to right now, though, because he's too young in the game to start.
That's a good point.
Picking, like, coaches and stuff
right
like that.
Right now, Deshaun Watson would get whatever he wanted. He can go into Cal's office and get
but
whatever he
come
wanted.
Off, he would come off as a bit of a douche if he did that. Like, he would come off as a little cocky if he did that. He probably does. He probably does have that power, but I don't
think he's got that power already? I could see Nuke Hopkins having a lot more pull than Deshaun Watson, based on established and everything.
You think DeAndre Hopkins thinks the offense sucks? He just set career highs in like four categories.
I think when you talk about what the bigger picture is and the end results, I think he can poke some pretty big holes in it.
Maybe.
Okay. All right, we'll continue with the discussion and other things. 1 hour in the book, still 2 hours to go in the big show. KJ, you got to pay the price when we don't get you the first time, but you're still hanging in there. We appreciate you. Hour number two is coming around the corner. Plenty more times for you guys to get involved. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.